seriously. We learned of the death of two in the early church, Ananias and his wife Sapphira, and though outwardly it seemed like they were doing good and serving the Lord, in their hearts they sought to glorify themselves, to deceive God and his people. We learned about the holiness, the righteousness of God, the penalty that there is for sin, which is death and judgment. We were reminded that through their deaths that someone must pay the price for sin. And for those of us who have faith in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, we trust and know with certainty that Jesus Christ himself paid the wages of sin, which is death. He died upon the cross, taking our penalty, that we might not perish but have eternal life. And so we were reminded that in the infancy of the early church, as it was just starting up, if you will, that God wanted to make absolutely sure that his church, his bride, would not be corrupt with pride and selfishness, self-glory. And so again, the reminder to take sin seriously. And as we look in the book of Acts, as we continue on, we'll see that there are the apostles of Jesus Christ, and they're doing amazing things in the name of Jesus. They're moving forward with their commission, their call by God to take the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ to the ends of the earth. And they're doing amazing things. The God of the impossible. And as we look at the miracles that the apostles were carrying out in Christ's name, we're going to see that many come to believe in Jesus Christ. Many come to faith. Their lives, eternities are changed forever through the relationship that they begin with Jesus. And so we're going to learn about our God, the God of the impossible. We're going to look at Acts chapter 5 together today, and we're going to look at verses 12 through 16 together. Acts chapter 5, verses 12 through 16, and this is the word of God. Now many signs and wonders were regularly done among the people by the hands of the apostles, and they were all together in Solomon's portico. None of the rest dared join them, but the people held them in high esteem. And more than ever, believers were added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women, so that they even carried out the sick into the streets and laid them on cots and mats, that as Peter came by, at least his shadow might fall on some of them. The people also gathered from the towns around Jerusalem, bringing the sick and those afflicted with unclean spirits, and they were all healed. Let's pray together. Dear God, we thank you again for your word. We thank you for this message. We thank you, God, that in your sovereignty, in your goodness, that every single person who is seated in this sanctuary, in this worship service, you have a word that you want to speak into every single heart. And so whether we are not yet believers of Jesus who are here seeking what it means to believe, seeking what it means to have a relationship with Jesus, God, through the Holy Spirit, would you work in this place? And that same Holy Spirit, for those of us who are believers, we already have within us. So God, would you work through the Holy Spirit to change our hearts as believers, to trust in you more, to learn who it is, what it is in life that we should be focusing on. Help us not to go astray into the world, but may our hearts always be set upon you. So be with me as I preach your word. Be with all of us. May we have hearts ready to take in your truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, people like to call all sorts of amazing things miracles. I think people want to witness amazing things. They want to see a miracle for themselves. It's kind of fun to see the unexpected or things that are unexplainable. You know, I think that's why we're enamored with magic, right? I mean, oftentimes it's, wow, how did you do that? How were you able to make what seems like it's impossible happen? Now I have some magic tricks of my own, and you know, I can pull my thumb off, you know, and I can do some cool card tricks, but usually that lasts till around kids are like first grade or second grade, and then they've watched YouTube already and they tell me how bad my magic tricks are. But you know, I'll stop there before, you know, I get into my feelings a little bit. But we enjoy looking at and seeing amazing things. And when it comes to miracles, you know, there's all sorts of times where we pray for a miracle, isn't it? When we're students and we know we didn't study enough for that exam. Dear Lord, I need a miracle. I don't know what's going to be on this exam, but I need you to give me an A. Let's save my GPA, Lord. And a lot of us here are sports fans, and the word miracle is oftentimes tied to that, where some big underdog that should have no business winning, it comes down to the end of the game and the underdog has won, and you hear the announcer say it over the PA system, it's a miracle, can you believe it? It's a miracle, do you believe? Or when we talk about the birth of a child, life, you say, wow, isn't that a miracle? There's a lot of different things that will point to, a wide range, really, that we would call a miracle. Now, this all sounds good, but what is the definition of a miracle? So according to Google, a miracle is a surprising and welcome event that is not explicable by natural or scientific laws and is therefore considered to be the work of a divine agency. So even Google recognizes that a miracle is something that should be attributed to a higher power of sorts. But for us as believers of Jesus Christ, and as we look into the context of the Word of God, miracles take on a very specific purpose and role in the history of Christianity, but also in how we ought to look at miracles as believers of Jesus Christ. And we know that this is not just some divine agency or some higher power. Specifically, we know that miracles come through the power of the one true God. And the one true God that we know showed his power ultimately through his Son, Jesus Christ. So true miracles come from God himself. And all the miracles that we see take place in the Bible, they all have a specific purpose, a role in the expansion of God's kingdom, in the growth of the church of Jesus Christ. And so this is what we're going to talk about together today. As we talk about the God of the impossible, we're going to talk about miracles. Some things that maybe we wouldn't even consider a miracle, but by God who can do the impossible, we're going to take a look and hopefully grow in our understanding of God, and also grow in our faith in God. So we're going to look at three different things, three different miracles, we'll call it. First thing is this, the miracle of God's call. The miracle of God's call. Secondly, the miracle of God's Son. And third, the miracle of God's power. So let's go ahead and start with the miracle of God's call. It says in verses 12 through 13, now many signs and wonders were regularly done among the people by the hands of the apostles, and they were all together in Solomon's portico. None of the rest dared join them, but the people held them in high esteem. Now the early church was not without its issues. We just saw Ananias and Sapphira sin against God in their hearts. We know that overall the community was full of God's love, and remember it said they were of one heart and one soul. They had all things in common. They testified to God's work in their lives. They preached the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and so they were giving generously to one another, caring for one another in an amazing and supernatural way. But what we have to remember is that church is never meant to be insular. Right, church is never meant to be just whoever is already a part of the church we take care of. There's also an aspect of the commission that God gives through Jesus Christ to the apostles and the disciples through the Great Commission that actually we now take this message, we grow together, we encourage one another, we support one another, but then we take the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ, his death and resurrection, and we take it to the ends of the earth. And God promised them that he would empower them through the Holy Spirit. And so that's what we see happening here. Signs and wonders regularly done among the apostles. This is amazing things, impossible things, but how is it happening? It's happening because the believers of Jesus Christ are empowered by the Holy Spirit. They have what God had promised them when he commissioned them. The Holy Spirit, the helper, to imagine that. I mean, right now it's like we see a miracle, we're like, whoa, we're astounded. But that they were just miracles were happening. They were healing people, they were casting out demons and unclean spirits. But how is it possible? The God of the impossible. Sometimes I think about it. As I stand up here preaching the Word of God, but knowing full well that I myself and who I am, I'm not worthy to be up here to preach the Word of God. But by His grace and by His call, I'm up here. And in the same way, the miracle of God's call is that while we were yet sinners, all of us here who are believers of Jesus Christ, He called us to be a part of His people. He called us to be a part of His family. And for some reason, somehow, He wants us, though we are imperfect, to be representatives of God Himself to the world. When we become a believer of Jesus Christ, we experience the miracle of God's call on our lives. Now, not everyone's going to be a full-time pastor or a missionary, but if we are believers of Jesus Christ, washed in His blood, new creations in Him, guess what? The call is on us, all of us, to live out this great commission. Amen? And the reason that it's a miracle is because look at the guys that Jesus chose. I mean, these guys, they weren't high up in society. They weren't high up in education. They didn't have all the degrees and all the family line and lineage and all these different things. Fishermen, a tax collector, people that the world would look at and say, well, okay, well, there's a need for people like that. You know, we need fish, right? We, you know, there wasn't something so great about each of the people that were called as disciples and then apostles that made them great enough or worthy of being called by God to be used for His purposes. And that's what's so great. I hope that you're okay with that. If you're a believer of Jesus Christ, it wasn't because you were so holy or you had built up enough goodness and righteousness in your own life that God said, wow, you've been doing a great job at being righteous, so I'm going to call you and you can be my child. You can be part of my family. No, that's not how it works. We were lost in darkness. We were lost in sin. Apart from knowing Christ, we had no power. And now here is the miracle of God's call that these apostles are regularly performing miracles. And ultimately, what does this show? It's not about them, but it's about God. It's not about them, but it's about the Christ, Jesus, who saved them, who empowered them through the gift of the Holy Spirit. And we see that this witness goes even outside of Jerusalem, as many people from around the city are bringing the sick and afflicted. Doesn't that get you excited about just how awesome God is? I mean, again, the God of the impossible, truly to use people like you and me to be a blessing unto others, to take selfish people who so easily think about themselves and what their own gain is apart from other people, and yet through the power of the Holy Spirit still using us through His truth, through the sharing of the gospel, to be a part of His kingdom work. Truly, it is a miracle of God's call. We did not earn it. We did not merit by merit to receive salvation. It was by God's grace. That is a miracle. Oh man, how much trouble we'd be in if the call was up to our abilities. If the call was up to what do I have to offer, we'd be in big trouble. God and His grace, the miracle of His call in our lives. And so if you are a believer of Jesus Christ, let's live in the miracle of His call. Let's live sharing the gospel. Let's live in a way where the world will know who we are as his people. Second thing is this, the miracle of God's Son. It says in verse 14, and more than ever, believers were added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women. Now, there can be a tendency for us, whenever we see a miracle, that we are just amazed at the miracle itself. Whatever happened, right? A man couldn't walk since he was born, and oh my goodness, now he's able to walk and jump. Look, this person was born without the ability to see, but now he's healed. It's a miracle. He can see. And oftentimes we just stand there and we stay kind of in the midst of that, and we're so enamored by the miracle and what's just happened that we fail to go deeper and see who those miracles, what those one person, and that's the one true God and his Son, Jesus Christ. Remember, the God that we serve, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, three in one, the Trinity. And so the focus here isn't the healing and curing itself. It's not the action of casting out the demons. The focus is meant to be not even on the apostles, but on Jesus Christ, the name that they were testifying to, the one that they were sharing, the powerful testimony of who God is through. See, the apostles were not some kind of supermen. They were not some kind of superhuman beings. No, they were normal people like you and me, but they had the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit through the miracle of God's Son, Jesus Christ. You know, sometimes I think we also believe, many people say, if I just saw a miracle in my life, I would believe. If he would just cure my father who is sick, then I would believe. If he just got me out of this financial hardship, then I would believe. If he would just mend this relationship, then I would believe. If you would just make that girl my wife, I would believe. And so we say, just give me the miracle, God, and then I'll believe. But we've seen time and time again in the Word that people experience and see and actually witness miracles but never come to faith in Jesus Christ. There's a difference in being amazed by the miracle and by being amazed by the one who makes those miracles possible. Amen? The miracle is God's Son. In John chapter 6, after Jesus takes loaves, a few loaves and fish and feeds thousands of people, everyone experiences that miracle, but not everyone believed. Even the ones that ate of the bread to their fill. They left with full bellies, but their hearts had not been changed. In Luke chapter 17, Jesus heals 10 lepers. Guess who comes back? Just one. What happened to the other 9? You see, they were so amazed that they were healed of their disease. They went about perhaps even joyful, maybe even saying praise God in different ways. But they didn't come back to Jesus to say, Jesus, I know that this was you. The miracle of God's Son, who Jesus Christ is, the God of the impossible, makes the impossible happen. And so all of the miracles that the apostles are performing, it's through the Holy Spirit, and it comes through the greatest miracle that this world has ever seen. And that sounds kind of cheesy, but it's okay, I like cheesy. The greatest miracle the world has ever seen is Jesus Christ himself. The Son of God coming into the world. Can you just imagine that? God himself in the flesh to dwell amongst his creation. The Creator humbling himself and coming down into the world on our behalf. Why? Because he loves us so deeply. Because he cares for us, humanity. He wants to see us know who he is. He wants to see us saved. And so salvation was only made possible through the miracle of Jesus Christ, God's Son, coming into the world. Luke chapter 18, verse 27 says, but he said, what is impossible with man is possible with God. It's only by Christ, only through Jesus Christ that we can be saved. There's no other name. There's no other person. It's not Muhammad. It's not Buddha. It's not some kind of higher ascension into a different reality in your mind. It's Jesus Christ alone. by which we can be saved. The miracle of God's Son come into the world, living a perfect life, something that we could not do apart from sin completely, and giving himself upon the cross for us. So we, as God's people, let's recognize the God of the impossible. Let's think on just how crazy it is that Jesus came into the world on our behalf, and that he served us though he was the human being, and that he died for us though we are the ones who deserve it, that he gave us salvation and forgiveness when all we had on our hands and our hearts was the penalty of sin, which is death. Last thing is this, the miracle of God's power, and we've just touched on it a little bit. We're going to talk about this resurrection power, verse 15 to 16, so that they even carried out the sick into the streets and laid them on cots and mats, that as Peter came by, at least his shadow might fall on some of them. The people also gathered from towns around Jerusalem, bringing the sick and those afflicted with unclean spirits, and they were all healed. Now, when you have people doing great things for the Lord, it's always God who's doing those things. We are but vessels. But we see here that some people, they look at Peter and they're like, okay, it's got to be something about Peter, right? And so they're just like, oh, if we could just get under his shadow, maybe we'll be healed. So there are some people who are maybe thinking kind of superstitiously that way, or some way that it's not God, or it is God, but it's something about Peter the person, but we're are in the faith, they are making sure that their focus is not on the apostles, it's not on Peter, it's not even on the miracles themselves, but who they point to, and that is Jesus Christ. So biblical miracles, they don't just end with a spectacular event. Every miracle has and had a purpose. They were meant to communicate the incredible power, the awesome power of our God, the one true God. And so this news is spreading. Our God, the God of the impossible, is empowering the apostles of Jesus Christ to perform these wonderful miracles of healing, to cure those who have disease and affliction, to cast out demons and unclean spirits. And look at what it says in verse 16. And they were all healed. Now, this is important. Remember that as we study the Bible, we study it in the context of when things happened. And in the early church, as the apostles are preaching about Jesus Christ, as they are healing in his name, look at what it says. All were healed. Now, some people look at this and say, okay, well, if I can just be like the apostles, if I can become special enough, perhaps, like them, if I can become holy and filled enough with the Holy Spirit, then maybe when I pray for miracles, then there will always be healing. Now, I don't know about you, but I have experienced loss in my life. I prayed like crazy when my dad had cancer that God would heal him of it. He passed away 21 years ago. There's a recent family, someone just 1 year older than myself, passed away of COVID. 39, left behind a four-year-old son, same age as Caleb, my son. And they were praying that he would be taken off of that ventilator, that his lungs would start moving on its own, and that he would be okay. And I'm sure all of us can attest to times when we've prayed for a miracle, but it didn't happen. So when we look at this verse, we sometimes want to make it about ourselves. Well, something about the way that I prayed or didn't pray or didn't do this or did this, maybe that's why they were not healed. And God says that's not how it works. Remember the context of when this is happening. This is to show with absolute certainty that in the infancy of the church, in the beginning of the early church, as they're proclaiming the power of Christ, as they're sharing the message, and many are coming to believe, it's to make certain with zero doubt that it was God who had done these amazing things through the apostles. And so all were healed. There was purpose in these miracles. Now, God still is the same God of grace and love and power. He has the ability. Miracles can still happen. The impossible is still possible, and it's still happening around the world. Miraculous healings and demons being cast out and all these different things that are mentioned here. But I wanted to say specifically, we must learn to see the miracle of God's power. But for us, it's in one sense a different light. Where we are now, we don't see all miracles happening. We don't see all people who we pray for being healed. We don't see it. It's not 100%. But the greatest miracle that we talked about Jesus Christ, God himself who came into the world, the miracle that he gave his life for us, but not only that he gave his life for us, but that he died on the cross. And what happened on the third day? God of the impossible did the impossible. And he raised Jesus Christ, who defeated death, who defeated sin, and he's alive today, sitting at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. Amen. And so when we think on this miracle, we think about how amazing it is. Amazing it is, his power, ultimately the resurrection power. That's the power that God has placed on our lives for those of us who are believers of Jesus Christ. He's still powerful. He's still loving and gracious. So go to him. Still pray for miracles, but do so knowing that the greatest thing that he has given to us is eternity and salvation, the resurrection power. Guess what? My father did die 21 years ago, but I know full well that he is with God in heaven. I know full well that the cancer that ate away at his body on this earth no longer has pain, no longer has disease, but it has been healed. You see, the apostles are bringing the kingdom of heaven into the world. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, people are being healed, people are being cleansed, but ultimately, more than outward change, more than outward healing, what God desires is for the inward healing, our souls, to be saved. And that can only happen through Christ Jesus and the resurrection power. You know, on Easter, that's what I preach. If the resurrection didn't happen, then I'm a fool for being up here talking about Jesus every week. If Jesus is not alive right now, if God of the impossible did not raise Jesus from the dead on the third day, I am a fool. We are all fools for sitting here. We're wasting our time. But he has risen. The miracle of his power is real. And for those of us who have a relationship with Jesus, we know it full well. But we mustn't forget it. As you live your life, maybe you're going through something right now and you're praying for a miracle. Maybe it's a loved one who's sick. Maybe it's financial distress. Maybe it's so many different things on our hearts. Trust God, but ultimately look at Christ. No matter what happens on this earth, that he has secured for us through his miraculous power, something that only he could do. Maybe some of us feel like, well, Pastor Josh, well, if God gives him that miracle, then I'm going to believe. But again, remember, miracles point to the one who has the power. Miracles point to the God who is gracious and loving to save. Always place your heart, your focus, your mind, not on the miracles, but on who God is. Let's pray together. Just take a moment to respond to the word. Do you have a relationship with Jesus? That's the first question. The God of the impossible, he wants to show you his power. He wants to show you who he is. And ultimately, he has shown the greatest miracle through his son, Jesus Christ. The question is, will you believe in him? Not just, wow, it would be great to have forgiveness. Wow, yeah, it would be great to have blessings. It would be great to have eternal life. But do you see Jesus? He's the focus. Don't be here because you just want a better life. Be here because you want to know Jesus. Because He makes Himself available to each one of us here. No matter what place you're at in your life, Jesus makes Himself available to you if you will just turn to Him. And that's the miracle of God's call, that He'll meet you where you're at. That you don't have to puff yourself up or holy yourself up or make yourself more righteous, but He'll meet you where you're at. But guess what? When you meet Him, when you have a life and a heart that's set on Him, you're going to be righteous. You're going to live in holiness because you want to. To shine His light. You want to be more and more like Him. So can you just pray right now? Whatever circumstance, whatever situation you're in, that you would just trust, place your faith even more deeply in the God of the impossible. Just take a moment to pray. Father, we just thank You for who You are. And God, as we prepare our hearts to take of the Lord's Supper of Holy Communion, this is what we remember, the miracle of God's Son, the miracle of Jesus Christ who came into this world and gave Himself for us, that those who believe in Him would not perish but have eternal life. Thank You that what is impossible with man, You have made possible. We thank You and pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll now go into a time of communion. Communion is a sacrament, a spiritual gift of grace from God to remember the miracle of who